Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, we'll be reading out of the New International Version. Seventh chapter of Luke's Gospel, verse 1 through and including verse 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him and asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, he pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority and soldiers under me. I tell one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. He was a very disappointed young army recruit. After his second week of basic training, he sat down and wrote an angry letter to his congressman. He complained, that's funny in and of itself, isn't it? He complained, I hear a veteran says, yeah, it is. He complained about the many indignations and humiliations he had to undergo in the army. "And then there's the food," he wrote. "The word slop is too good for it. Back home, I wouldn't feed it to the hogs for fear that it might poison them. No decent garbage collector would have anything to do with it. And to make matters worse, they serve such tiny portions." I was bracing myself for raucous laughter. I don't think that young soldier was much impressed at that point by the army, do you? But here in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is impressed with the faith of this military man. This Roman centurion was in the Holy Land as one of the occupying troops. The Romans were the ones who controlled Palestine at that time. They were the people in power. By the way, a centurion was a very important officer in the Roman army. The position was like a trusted, experienced master sergeant. In fact, some people call the centurions the backbone of the Roman military. But this particular officer was really unusual. For example, he loved and he respected the Jewish people. Most Romans hated the Jews, and many of the Jews hated them right back. Caesar's people called the Jews a filthy race. They called the Hebrew faith a disgusting superstition. Romans used to accuse them of worshiping a donkey's head and sacrificing non-Jews on their altar at least once per year. However, sometimes, once in a while, a Roman soldier would be won over to the faith of Israel. A few of them developed a respect for the religion with just one God, a faith of morals, ethics, and sincere commitment. Our centurion this morning was apparently one of the ones who had this deep respect for the Jewish faith. But this man was also unusual in the way he treated his slaves. One slave in particular was very sick, this passage says, and in fact, at the point of death. The centurion truly valued that man, and he asked for the Savior's help. And what's really odd about this is the officer treated his slave as a human being. Most slave owners back then considered their servants to be in the same league with horses, donkeys, and oxen, beasts of burden, nothing more than what they called living tools. And over their servants, slave owners literally held the power of life and death. But here we see this centurion who truly valued the well-being of his slave. Jesus was impressed by this man. Whenever the scripture says something like that, the Lord Jesus was impressed by someone, I think we need to pay even more attention. Only speak the word and let my servant be healed. That was his message to the Savior. No need, Lord, to trouble yourself or even take the time to come to my house. Just say it, and I know it will happen. Wow. What a believer. This man was a Gentile, a non-Jew, a powerful, tough Roman soldier, and he shows amazing faith in Christ. What else can we say about his faith this morning? How did that faith affect and bless his life? Well, for one thing, it made him humble. His faith helped to make him humble. As the people approached Jesus, they said about the centurion, they said, "He is worthy." But later the officer said about himself, "I am not worthy." His humility impressed the master. Now, as we know, humility is a quality that has sadly fallen on hard times. Our society seems bent on encouraging us to toot our own horns, look out for number one, get our own way no matter what, negotiate with a firm jaw and a strong arm, and claw our way to the top. Might think of the retired basketball coach, Bobby Knight, Indiana basketball coach, Bobby Knight, who said, "I may have my faults, but being wrong ain't one of them." On June 1st, 1676, on June 1, the Swedish Navy learned an expensive lesson about humility. And the pride of their Navy was a huge battleship called the Kronan, which means the crown. The Kronan took 7 years to build. It weighed 240 tons. 126 cannons were jutting out from every side. And on her second outing, she made a sharp turn and top-heavy, with all those armaments, fell over on her side and sank in 7 minutes. What took 7 years to build was, in just 7 minutes, a heap of junk on the bottom of the sea. The Kronan was done in by the weight of her own guns. Now, if the centurion had come to Christ with an arrogant attitude, full of pride, full of himself, throwing his weight around, displaying his own authority, Jesus would not have been impressed. But instead, the officer communicated with the Savior humbly and with humility, and that made a world of difference. Let's also look at this today. The centurion's faith made him generous. His faith encouraged him to be a generous individual. He built our own synagogue, the people said. And this doesn't mean that he, brick by brick, mortar by mortar, by hand, himself built the synagogue, but he paid for all the financing put into the building of this place of worship. He was obviously a giving individual, all loyal people of faith are. Pastor Eric Hustrand of Binford, North Dakota, was preaching one Sunday when an older woman named Mary fainted, struck her head on the end of a pew. An EMT in the congregation rushed over to her right away and told the others to call an ambulance. And as they strapped Mary to a stretcher and got ready to head out of the door, she regained consciousness. She motioned for her daughter to come near, and everybody thought that Mary, mustering her strength to speak, well, maybe that could mean that she wanted to tell her daughter Barbara her final words, her last requests. So Barbara leaned over to her mom's mouth, and Mary whispered, "Honey, look in my purse. My offering today is in there. Make sure it gets in the plate." Some of you chuckle, some of you don't. It's authentic. It's an unmistakable sign of faith. Generosity toward the needs of others. Being open-hearted and open-handed toward the work of the Lord God. In a rural elementary school not far from here, the school secretary routinely collects lunch money from the kindergartners, especially at the beginning of the school year. That helps solve the problem of lost lunch money. But for nervous five-year-olds, it takes a few days to understand what's going on. For 3 days straight, the secretary came into the room and asked in a loud voice, "Does anyone have any lunch money for me?" No response met her question. But on the fourth day, one little kindergarten boy came in at the bell, walked quietly up to the teacher's desk, held out his hand and said, "Here's lunch money from my piggy bank for the poor lady nobody ever gives any money to." The Savior was impressed with the centurion's generosity. His faith urged him to be a giving person. And also today, his faith made him kind. K-I-N-D. It's more than a candy bar. Kind. The hallmark, the stamp of his faith was kindness, compassion. And as we mentioned before, he treated the slave with care and love and respect as a sacred creation of God. And if we keep our eyes open as we read the New Testament, we'll see that this was Jesus' test for genuine faith. For Christ, love and kindness and forgiveness and tender mercy were the best measuring sticks. If your faith makes you more compassionate and patient and loving, then it's worth something. It's real. But if your faith makes you more narrow or judgmental or hateful or holier than thou, then it's bad news and bad religion. When Henry James, the great American writer, was saying goodbye to his young nephew, Willie, he said something the boy never forgot. He reported that his uncle said, "Willie, there are three things that are most important in human life. The first, be kind. The second, be kind. And the third, be kind." Now, that doesn't mean we aren't allowed to disagree. We won't always agree. We don't always have to hold the same opinion. In fact, if we always had to do that, I don't think there would be one among us here today who wouldn't be loco at the end of a month or earlier if we all had to agree on the same things. However, we can maintain our goodwill for each other even when we don't see things the same way. What a drab, dull, boring life it would be if we all had the same opinion. And in fact, differences can be downright healthy. They keep us on our toes. They keep us sharp and more knowledgeable and creative. Yet even in our differences, we can still be kind. I like the little saying, "Money might buy a fine dog, but only kindness will make it wag its tail." Caring, kindness, love, compassion, whatever we want to call it, this is one of the surest signs of faith in Christ because it shows others that we believe, and we show them that they are sacred creations of the living God themselves, and nothing pleases the Lord more to see his children express their faith genuinely, and he saw that in the centurion. Jesus did. And he liked it. Humility, generosity, kindness, all ways that faith affected and blessed his life. And by that faith, even the Savior was highly impressed. In his name, amen.
Number 430. Both verses.